Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 103rd episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include a couple of Flashback Friday-inspired interviews. We share an archived interview with actress Linda Blair. We talk about her World Heart Foundation's work, plus her list of movies for Halloween or any other time of the year for that matter. We also share an archived interview with actor Andrei Ivchenko. We talk about his character on Stranger Things and his other projects he'd been working on. In a new interview from today, we visit with actor Edwin Hodge. The movie Tomorrow War is available now on Amazon. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and share with your friends. Now, 22% of Americans feel like this 4th of July is the first time they get to have a normal celebration since the pandemic started. And with that, do you have any plans? Well, someone polled 1,500 people, asked what they're doing this weekend, and here is what we've got planned. Well, 36% of us plan to spend a big part of our weekend relaxing at home. That's down from 41% last year when more people were worried about COVID. Now, 29% will go to a barbecue or picnic. That's up for 25% a year ago. 29% will also get together with family, up 5 points from last year. Only 9% of us will go somewhere to see fireworks, and 9% will also be setting off their own fireworks. 8% will go see a parade or some other local event. 5% of Americans are going to the beach this weekend. 4% of us have a round of golf planned, 3% will go camping or hiking, 3% will go fishing, and some of us have less exciting plans. 26% will watch TV, 12% will do yard work, 16% have chores to take care of, and 14% might do something but, well, don't have plans yet. Oscar-nominated actress and, man, got so many other things going on as well. Linda Blair on the line with us. And first off, Linda, thank you so much for your time.
My goodness, thank you. And almost happy Halloween. And can we, any of us, believe that we're entering the holiday season? No.
The years just pass so much faster each year as I get older, Linda.
Yeah, buddy, that would be right.
And, you know, like you mentioned, getting up close to Halloween, and, you know, most folks would expect when they hear that Linda Blair is going to be on the line, we're going to be talking some horrific things. Well, we are going to talk horrific things, but kind of in a different vein as well.
Well, we're ready.
So talking about the Linda Blair World Heart Foundation, and Linda, how did this get set up, and was this, obviously this is a labor of love for you?
Well, you know, a lot of people that do follow anything to do, you know, with every film personality or TV person, some people like to, you know, kind of get into what their likes and loves are in life and so on. And of course, when I grew up, there was, you know, only so many of the celebrities, that people that were working in film and television. But I'd always lived life. I'm from the East Coast. I've been through Oklahoma, Texas, used to do a lot of charity events. And so, you know, I love everybody in the communities out there. I've always enjoyed traveling and meeting people. But my work has been for animals. I'd wanted to be a veterinarian. My life sort of changed course with a small movie I made. I think it was called The Exorcist. So, yeah, just when I'm getting ready for college, all of a sudden I'm part of something that changed the world. And who knew? Nobody ever knows that's going to happen. And so I eventually, along the way, you know, I did Airport 75. We did all those TV movies, Born Innocent, Sarah T., Portrait of a Teenage Alcoholic with Mark Hamill. And, you know, that was great. And Sweet Hostage with Martin Sheen. I worked with Richard Burton. And then we get into, let's see, Hell Night, which is a great family film at this time of year, Roller Boogie. And suddenly I was like, wait a minute, I'm working and working, but what about me? So I got very involved with animal welfare, animal and human welfare, became an environmentalist, you know, tried to explain about, you know, tree cutting and white logging and how it was affecting and mudslides. And then, of course, years later, all of that came to be where there is a connection to all of it and the environment. But when I looked around and saw our animal friends in jeopardy, I realized I needed to get more involved and founded the Linda Blair World Heart Foundation. And we work for animal welfare out here in California. I have the large dog rescue, and people can look that up on LindaBlairWorldHeart.org, Facebook, Linda Blair World Heart Foundation. So I do a lot with cancer prevention, stabilization. That's personal because I lost my own dogs to cancer. And the pet owner population that we need government to provide spay and neuter because they don't. There's no funding. A lot of people don't have the funds for it. And everybody travels around the country now, so you can go from the East Coast, Midwest, to the West Coast, and all over. But sometimes things happen, and pets get lost, and you're trying to recover them. We tell people microchip, very important. And they end up in the overcrowded shelters. And so we pull from the shelters people's pets that have ended up there for no good reason, but they don't know where they are. And so the shelters are forced with the overpopulation to euthanize, and it's really got to stop. So now out here in California right now, we're on fire alert, which I'm sure you were told, and it's not what you and I used to grow up with. And this is coming from the electric companies and homeless encampments, and just needs just a mild wind. Any of us were used to wind, but the mild winds are sparking these horrific, horrific fires out here. And no one knows what's going on. It's bad. But we're on fire alert right now. I'm watching the news, so you still got me. I'm here, happy to join you this morning.
And Linda, how important do you think it is to share some life and love, not only with the fur babies, the forever homes that you're finding for them, but also, you know, folks need some brightness in their day as well. And obviously a pet is going to do that for them as well.
Well, there's so much so far that we've come where people realize empty nesters, think tragedies that have happened, or just raising the good family pet, showing the kids the best friend and what they offer. What you put into a dog, small, medium, large, is what you will get out with them. Whether you're working a herd, they're here to help assist a Queensland Healer, border collies, or whether you're at home and you have a lap dog. It doesn't matter. Their companionship is undeniable of the love and bond and what they're there for. If you're crying, if you're happy, they want to join in too. They get you out walking. They get you out. You know, when I grew up, we all still worked. We were out in the dirt, as I call it, and which is good for you to get your hands dirty and not be sitting inside all the time. And they were always there, you know, with the kids and the family, keeping everything safe. So it's undeniable that they are the greatest companion we can ask for, besides a partner, of course. And they're in need right now. So I've been working at this for over 40 years. I hope people check out my site. And if you have a pet that's sick, always remember the food is everything. If you have a Costco around, some of the foods I use. Taste of the Wild, Pine Forest is another food I use. On Chewy, they have a grain-free, single ingredient protein. Always think of it this way. They eat single proteins, meat, and then they don't eat grains. They don't go in the fields and eat rice and wheat and oat and things. They eat grass. They need enzymes and so on. So that's the work I do, is the health of the pet. And you can find a lot of that on my sites. And we're fundraising right now because this fire prevention out here, it's just gotten too much. And I'm asking for support out here. And you can see that on my Facebook, Linda Blair World Heart Foundation. We'll have T-shirts up within the week. And I really appreciate everybody. You can always contact us and ask us any question. We'll be happy to help.
And again, that website, LindaBlairWorldHeart.org. Find her on Facebook, Linda Blair World Heart Foundation.
Instagram, The Real Linda Blair, and the same on Twitter. And Linda, it's always great to visit with you. I appreciate your time, and hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you so much. You all stay safe. I think of everybody all the time.
I do want to say thanks to our sponsor for today's episode, Smiley's Breezy Vapes, 313 Falcon Road in Altus, Oklahoma. They've got red basket specials, new hardware, plus the largest selection of disposable flavors in Southwest Oklahoma. Stop by and see them, or call or text at 580-471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8273. Most people know that FOMO stands for fear of missing out. But have you heard the term GOMO before? Well, that's the grief of missing out, and a new study found it was common last year. 4 in 10 Americans say that watching normal things happen on TV shows and in movies has given them GOMO during the pandemic. And here are the top 5 things from shows and movies that triggered it. Number 1, people eating at restaurants. 60% of viewers who had GOMO said that triggered it. Number 2, characters shopping in person at stores and malls, 52%. Number 3, seeing people going to the movies, 52%. Number 4, people swimming, 44%. And number 5, watching people have new experiences in general, 43%. Now, 38% of people in the poll even said they watch shows and movies just to live vicariously through the characters and feel like they were out socializing too.
You know, and from several different TV shows, some Canadian work, also a couple of movies, and this small project called Stranger Things. Andre Evchenko with us this morning. And first off, Andre, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, Andre, obviously, Stranger Things is just a huge phenomenon, and all of the seasons are now streaming on Netflix. And for you, what was it like to come in to a show that had such a following?
Yeah, it was an honor to be on the show like this with all the brilliant cast and filmmakers. It came as a surprise because when I did the audition, I didn't even know what project I'm going for. Actually, I didn't know if this project gonna exist because it was a very vague description. They were casting for Russian characters for 2018 movie and TV show projects, so it wasn't even a specific one. And I just did my part and I got the part.
Where did acting fall in your ideas of things to do when you grew up? I mean, was it ever anything that was even on the radar for you?
Well, I did theater in the mid school for about 4 years. And then, after school, it was the army and, Soviet Union collapsed when I came back. So I had to survive, work different jobs and, make some money. And then I left the country in 1999 and I went through a few countries before I came to United States. Well, actually, before I came to United States, I'm Canadian. So in Canada, that idea got back to me kind of. And I started to do background work first and then stunts. And then I went to the acting and here I am.
Now, Andre, how much does it make you appreciate those lean times? Like you talk coming back and having to kind of restart from scratch. I mean, how much does this make you appreciate all the things that you've gone through to get to this point?
It does, actually. It does make me appreciate everything, very much because it's a hard work. Despite what people think, it's a hard work. It's a lot of struggle. It's even more rejection. That's what you deal on daily basis, But you have to do a lot of work to, start getting the parts and even more work to become successful.
Now, Andre, how close would we say the real Andre is to Grigori, or is that just a true show of your acting expertise, if you will?
Well, I'm in real life. I'm exactly like Grigori. No, of course, it was a fictional character, and you know, I didn't take me too much, you know, to play it, because I just applied what I knew. And I mean, when I actually immigrated the first time, I was pretty much that guy without, like, obviously killing people. But that seriousness and, you know, not smiling and stuff like that, that was kind of part of the, you know, former Soviet Union style kind of thing. It didn't, as I said, it didn't take me too much to, you know, too much effort to play this guy, because I knew I was in the army, so I knew how, you know, those guys act and how they behave. And I actually was part of them, you know. But a lot of obviously it's not me, it's a fictional character. And Duffer's given me a choice, you know, to choose how to play it and trust my choices, and that's I'm really thankful for.
Now, what is maybe one of the most surprising responses that you've had from somebody from being recognized from the show?
Well, lots of people, number of people asking me why did I kill Alexei? that's big thing, I guess, going on around. Yep. So, majority of the people like my character and they appreciate it and they're excited, and obviously people saying I'm a Russian Terminator and I have to play the Terminator in the next movie and stuff like that. I hear it a lot.
Now, of course, all the seasons, like we mentioned, now streaming on Netflix. And Andre, if folks want to not only keep up with what you got going on the show, but also other works that you've got going on, where can they find out more information about that?
They can go to my Instagram, TheAndreyEvchenko. Also, my Facebook, AndreyEvchenko. I have an account on Twitter as well, AndreyEvchenko. So if the guys just go there and log in, they will see what's going on.
All right. Well, Andre, it's been great to visit with you this morning, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon, my friend.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
I do want to say thanks to our sponsor for today's episode, Smiley's Breezy Vapes, 313 Falcon Road in Altus, Oklahoma. They've got red basket specials, new hardware, plus the largest selection of disposable flavors in Southwest Oklahoma. Stop by and see them, or call or text at 580-471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8273. Today is World UFO Day, the anniversary of when aliens supposedly crash-landed in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. So here's a question. What's the first thing you'd do if there was an actual alien invasion? Well, 80% of people in a new poll said that they've thought about it before, and here are some of the most common answers. Number 1, just hope experts and government officials work it out. Number 2, panic. Number 3, start hoarding supplies. Number 4, barricade your doors and windows. Number 5, get as far away as you can from all major cities. Number 6, turn off all your lights so the aliens won't think you're home. Number 7, start working on some sort of bunker. Number 8, start gathering weapons. Number 9, call your boss to let them know you're not coming in. And number 10, watch alien movies as research. The poll also found people think that the alien from E.T. is the closest to what a real alien would look like.
Big day for this guy, Edwin Hodge, on the line with us. And first off, Edwin, great to visit with you, my friend.
Likewise, brother. Likewise.
Now tell us the Tomorrow War. I mean, this is there's been a lot leading up to this one. And I mean, how excited are you for fans to finally be able to put eyes on the film?
I'm thoroughly excited. You know, to be honest with you, you know, the cast and crew, we put a lot of work, heart, some blood was shed while filming this film. But you know, it's a big story wrapped up in this chaotic world. But it's, you know, very much a family film, and I'm proud. I'm just really, really proud of the work that everybody did.
And Edwin, in the midst of everything we've all been living through this last year, to be able to put an action flick out there, I mean, how excited are you to be able to see that? Because that's something we've been missing as well.
Well, yeah, you know, honestly, you know, especially when it comes to cinema, we definitely have been missing the big summer blockbusters, you know, and getting people into theaters and things of that nature. You know, everybody trying to get back to some sense of normalcy. So, it's as far as the film industry is concerned, you know, we're definitely putting out the heaters now, you know, because we know the world is ready to sit down and watch. And you know, they want something big, something that's going to take them away from reality for a little bit. And I think this movie is one of those perfect entities to do so.
Now, Edwin, tell our listeners, if they've been under a rock and haven't seen a trailer, a preview or anything, give us a little insight into The Tomorrow War.
So The Tomorrow War is a family film, and we follow the life of Dan Forster, who's trying to find some purpose and meaning in his life and also take care of his family, you know, his daughter, most importantly. And he has been drafted into this future war, and it's either him or his family that will have to go, and he decides, obviously, that he will be drafted. So he goes into the future to fight this war and ultimately, you know, save humanity and his family, hopefully.
And Edwin, for you, I know I mentioned to you before that you've been staying busy on Instagram and on the socials, and you know, you got the big billboard in New York. Was that a little one-upmanship with Aldis as well? Was that part of that as well?
Nah, that was more of a, to be honest with you, I actually sat back and I actually cried a little bit when I saw the posting and realizing that both me and my brother had posters on that same exact billboard in Times Square, because that's where our career started. You know, there was a lot of life lessons learned, stumping the pavement in New York, and you know, successes and failures and what so forth. And you know, just seeing those billboards side by side, you know, put into perspective of the journey that my brother and I have been through in this industry. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
Now, this last year, with everything being slowed down a little, Edwin, what was maybe one of the things that you did a little internal focus on?
Definitely myself. You know, where I was at in life and kind of where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. I did stay busy. I did a lot of writing, and, you know, a lot of those projects are not coming to fruition, you know, this year. But, you know, I think with anybody, you know, with every day we try to improve our lives and try to learn and grow and expand. And, you know, that's pretty much what I tried to do during the pandemic.
Now, we talked about the pandemic and everything having to be a little bit separated. Now, on the Tomorrow War, did that make the camaraderie a little different, or was most of that done pre-pandemic?
So the film was shot pre-pandemic. We did get a little taste of working throughout the pandemic for about like a month. When we had to do reshoots, which that was completely, it is definitely different, you know, talking to people with masks, not knowing their faces, literally having to stand, you know, 5 feet away from the person that's supposed to be dressing you. You know, it was a change, but, you know, I'm glad we're out of that. it's not the way to work, man. Like, honestly, it's just, you know, it's not, it doesn't feel right, you know, So I'm happy to kind of be back on even ground with this thing here.
Now, again, the new movie Tomorrow War, check it out on Amazon Prime, available today.
Right,
you know,
today,
also,
right,
Edwin, I also want to make sure to let folks know all the other projects you've got coming up. I mean, it's a busy year for you, brother.
Indeed it is. You can catch me on CBS next year on Good Sam with Sophia Bush and Jason Isaacs. I'm in the process of filming Showtime, the Lakers project for HBO Max, and then my brother and I have a film that we wrote that we're going to shoot later on this summer. So, yeah, definitely try to keep it busy.
That's good stuff. Well, Edwin, always great to visit with you, sir, and I can't wait to get off and get home and check it out myself. The Tomorrow War, available today. And Edwin, always want to make sure and let folks know where they can keep up social media-wise as well.
Social media-wise, Edwin Hodge on Facebook, Chaotic Symphony, exactly how it's supposed to be spelled, or Instagram, Twitter, Edwin Hodge. Yeah, just look up my name. I'm there.
Well, Edwin, always great to visit with you, sir. I hope you have a great weekend, and look forward to catching up again real soon.
All right, likewise, buddy. Good to meet you.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 103rd episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook at gqwithcam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit our merch store where we've got hoodies, shirts, mugs, tumblers, stickers, and more. That's gqwithcam.com/shop. If you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Well, thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great 4th of July weekend.